The following is a special announcement for listeners of the Where is God's Word program with Bruce Musselman. On the morning of May 15th, Brother Bruce Musselman went home to be with the Lord following a short illness. His last new radio program aired just 8 days before his passing. Please join me in praying for the Musselman family and Bruce's friends and colleagues. For now and the next couple of months, we will be airing classic Bruce Musselman programs from our archives. We trust you will be edified and encouraged by these vintage programs. Now, let's join this week's edition of Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman. Welcome to Where is God's Word with your host, Bruce Musselman, brought to you by the Mantoway Country Baptist Church of Aurora, Ohio. Bruce combines over 40 years of experience as a pastor, Bible teacher, and author. This program addresses topics surrounding the authority and inerrancy of the Bible. Here now with this week's edition of Where is God's Word is Bruce Musselman.
Well, this is the day the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. What a beautiful day. We see that our Creator, the Lord Jesus Christ, his power and his beauty that he has created, that he has made. And despite giving man a long leash, he is still in control in this world and on this world. And he is coming back to set up his kingdom and rule with the rod of iron. There'll be perfect peace and perfect righteousness on this earth. And if you study the Bible, you'll see the events are shaping up to the time when our wonderful Lord comes back. But this program is about where is God's Word. And, you know, although we say negative things, yet we are a very positive program because we are telling you that we have God's Word and that we can trust in it. The Bible says, in thy word do I trust. And the Bible says, cursed is everyone that putteth confidence in man. And sooner or later, you'll have a curse on you if you put your trust in man for anything, including religion and including almost anything. But we can trust in God's word. And Jesus said in the great high priestly prayer, he said in John chapter 17, sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is truth. And so we are to believe in Jesus Christ. All through the Bible, it teaches that. And we are to believe what he said. And he said that his word is truth. Now, we live in a time where you have so many religious ideas. And they're just popping up in so-called Christianity all the time. You hear something new, some new idea, some new doctrine, some new religion, some new thought. And then you have them outside of Christianity. And a person can come to the place where they say, what can I believe? How can I be sure about anything? And yet God wants you to be sure about things. And I will tell you, first of all, we are to listen with all these voices in the world to the voice of Jesus. I'm going to listen to the voice that when he spoke, he raised people from the dead. I'm going to listen to the voice of the one that when he spoke, the storm ceased. I'm going to listen to the one that when he spoke, that the earth and the universe was created. I'm going to listen to the one the Bible says that all things are held together and upheld by the word of his power. I'm going to listen to the one that when he spoke, the blind received their sight. And so Jesus has spoken, and he is God. He is our creator. And so we can put our confidence and trust in him. Now, Jesus taught us that his voice is heard in the scriptures, in the Bible. And so we're going to talk today about what Jesus said about the Bible. And I realized in many introduction classes today that are taught in evangelical schools, although they're teaching about 80 or 90% or more what Jesus said, there's some strychnine, there's some poison in what they're saying in these introductory books. And you say, well, how can you say that? You think you're right and everybody else is wrong? No, there's thousands of people and writers and so on that believe what I believe. So I'm not the only one. But not only that, we're going to discuss what Jesus said about things. Now, Jesus taught the preservation of Scripture. I tell you that over 40 years ago, when I got interested in this subject, the thing that interests me, one day I was reading a New American Standard version, and I was reading in the book of Luke chapter 2, and in that chapter it states that Joseph was Jesus' father. It says his father and his mother, referring to Joseph. And I had always been taught, and the scripture teaches everywhere, that Jesus' father was God. And so I thought, wow, what in the world is this? Now, I brought that up to people, and they say, oh, they were just talking about his stepfather. But in that very same chapter, the Lord Jesus Christ talks to his mother, and his mother, he was talking in front of a group of scholars, and his mother comes up to him and says, your father, referring to Joseph, and I have sought you sorrowfully. And then Jesus replies and said, I must be about my father's business. In other words, don't call Joseph my father. Jesus never called Joseph his father. And the whole Christian religion is teaching that the God of this universe, the eternal spirit, took on himself a human body in the womb of Mary and was born in the town of Bethlehem. And we trace our time back to his birth. 2,011 years ago, God took on the body of a man. And so Jesus always taught his father was God. The Bible said, these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Son of God. If I go into a bookstore and every new version that comes out, the first thing I look at is Luke 2:33. And the King James said, Joseph and his mother, but all the modern counterfeits say, his father and his mother. And when they say that, in their translation, Jesus clearly states that his father is God and corrects Mary for saying the very same thing. So they're saying Jesus either did not know what he was talking about, I'm talking about New ASV, NIV, and all the rest of them, or he was lying, or he was ignorant, or he was just telling a falsehood. I believe Jesus was telling the truth, and the Bible was written so that we could believe Jesus is the Son of God. Now, so I went, after reading this, I was quite shocked and quite amazed, and I thought, I'm going to get to the bottom of this. So the first thing I did is I went to my Greek New Testament and looked what it said, and it was Nestle's Greek Text, 23rd edition, and it said, his father and his mother, pater and mater in the Greek. And I thought, well, the King James doesn't say this. What is going on here? So I tried to find out. It took me about a year to find out where Nestle's Greek Text came from. And I read a book by Ira Price, the University of Chicago, and Kenyon, leading writers on textual history. Kenyon was from England. And both of them said that originally it came from the official Roman Catholic Clementine Vulgate of 1592, and put out by the Jesuits. And not only that, in the 23rd edition, they keep putting out new ones all the time, new editions of this text, because it's based on what they call the eclectic manuscripts. Less than 1% of the Greek manuscripts are part of this so-called text, and these all disagree with each other, so they have to be changing it all the time. But I also read recently that Archbishop Carlos Montini of Milan, Italy, Roman Catholic Archbishop, he was one of the editors or the editor in charge of the 23rd edition of Nestle's Greek Text, which the New American Standard Version is based on, and also of the 26th edition, which the New International Version is based on. So when I was in school, in college, the pastor that I of the church that I attended, he was always looking at what the Greek said. And of course, there's many Greek manuscripts, and there's different Greek texts. There's the true text, the Antiochian text, the received text, and then there's the corrupt one that's Alexandrian, less than 1% of the manuscripts that is constantly disagrees with each other. By the way, when they say oldest and best, they're referring to Constantine's own Bibles that he put out, and Vaticanus and Sinaiticus, which disagree with each other in 3,000 words in the Gospels alone. So I thought, well, I'm going to go to the school where he went to. So I went up to the seminary at that time. I don't think they have it there now, Winona Lake. and talked to the Greek professor, and he gave me a paper at the time. I didn't totally understand it. But that paper said that God said that God never said that he would preserve his words. And right away, when I read that, I thought of, I had read the New Testament through about 25 times at that point, and I was about 30 years old. So I thought immediately, verse after verse after verse just popped into my head. And it's the first time I ever realized that the Bible taught this, but these verses came into my mind. And they taught that God would preserve his words. Matthew chapter 24, verse 35, Jesus said, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words," W-O-R-D-S, "shall never pass away." And he said, the Lord Jesus Christ, the God of the universe, said that his words would never pass away. In other words, he would keep them. And it would be easier for the sun, moon, and stars to quit shining, to be obliterated in the universe, be obliterated, than his words to pass away. Why? Because he would keep them by his power. Do you know, I mentioned this many times on this program, but God keeps those stars, and they move within a fraction of a second. And astronomers know where those stars were thousands of years ago. If a God like that, that has power, can move those stars in a fraction of a second, and we tell time by Greenwich, England, where they have a telescope that is aimed at the stars to tell time with, if he could do that, you mean to say he doesn't have the power to keep his words? Well, of course he does. And the Bible says in the book of Psalms, "The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever." The words are pure words, and God has purified them, it says, seven times. And it says he will keep them from this generation forever. That's through all eternity. He will keep his words by his power. Oh, if it was just man involved, they'd mess it up. But it's not. God is involved in keeping his words. And so that's what Jesus taught. I don't care what some college professor teaches or seminary professor that professes to have degrees. I'd rather believe what Jesus taught, and Jesus said he would preserve and keep his words. Now, Jesus also taught that he and his words are one. Now, people today, they'll put Jesus at a certain level, and then they'll put his words at a lesser level. And they'll call anybody that glorifies or honors his word bibliolaters. And they like throwing this term around. Well, people like that, they haven't even read their Bible. In Psalm 119, as well as many other places, God gives worship to his words. In fact, in Psalm 138, verse 1 and 2, God says, "I worship towards thy holy temple, for thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name." And so God says that he has honored his word above all his name. We see in John chapter 15 that Jesus connects his words with himself. They're one and the same. John 15, verse 5. "I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing." And then it says, "If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth, and as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you." Now, he says right here that if his words, he connects himself with his words. In a previous verse, he says, "If ye abide in me and I abide in you," then he says, "If ye abide in me and my words abide in you." So they're one and the same. You can't separate his words from the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Jesus taught that his words and him are one. Now we speak to each other through our words, and we know the person through our words or through our expressions. And Jesus, we know Jesus through his words. Now Jesus also taught that our love for Christ is shown by keeping his words. In John chapter 15, And we look at verse 23. He that hateth me hateth my Father also. And in verse 2 and 3, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear of itself, except ye abide in me. And so on. So he teaches that if we love him, that we will keep his words. Now, we're going to take a break at this time, and then we'll come back.
You're listening to Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman. If you have a question or comment about today's program, please contact us. Our email address is sos1611@gmail.com. That's sos1611@gmail.com. And now let's return to more of Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman.
I want to simply make this announcement right now. I have a book here, and I've studied this for about 40 years. I try to read every book, pro and con, and it's made a believer out of me. I believe the King James is God's word, and including the Bible. And I think one of the ways to get this out to people so that they have some trust in the scripture after all the counterfeit Bibles are out, are giving out books on this subject. And one of the books I think was one of the best ones that I have ever read. It's called Which Version is the Bible? And it is written by a man named Floyd Nolan Jones. And this book is definitely outstanding. And I find myself agreeing with the study that I have read. And I've read many, many books on this. And I agree with this individual. He is an educator. He is very fluent in, he understands the different languages and so on, and he's covered the whole field in a tremendous way that people can understand. And it's an outstanding book. If a book goes through two or three printings, that is really an amazing thing. But this book has gone through, as of the year 2006, it's gone through 19 editions. So I don't know how many times it's been printed since that time. So tens of thousands of people have read this book. We've been giving something out for free for a long time, and that is we've been giving a paper that has 100 places where the names of Jesus have been taken out of the modern counterfeit Bibles. And we have this paper. We have the references so that you can get the paper and you can check the references for yourself and see how they have taken out the names of Jesus in 100 places. I'll give you the number again. Maybe we'll give it again, because sometimes you might not pick up a pen or find it right away. Our number, local number, is 216-901-0933. 216-901-0933. The long distance is 888-677-9673. And that's a toll-free number. 888-677-9673, the local number 901-0933. And this paper we give out absolutely free, has 100 places where the modern counterfeit Bibles take out the names of Jesus, like Lord Jesus, God, and so on, which shows that they have an Aryan background. Now, Jesus taught, first of all, I want to repeat this. Jesus never corrected the scriptures. When I was younger, I used to hear preachers that about one or two times you could count on it in every message, they would correct the authorized King James Bible. And they would say, this is an unfortunate translation, original say. And there was a point where I began to study these corrections that they would bring up, and I totally disagree with this practice. Why? Because Jesus didn't do it. When the devil came to him, he never said, the originals say, this is an unfortunate translation, a better reading is. I was watching a fellow on television. He says, every word of the Bible is true. And he's shouting this out. And then a few minutes later, this is an unfortunate translation. And he didn't give me any proof why he thought that. He didn't give me anything from any Greek text or any reason. He just dogmatically said it. Now, the Bible says, in thy word do I trust. We're not to trust in a man because it can bring us a curse. We're to trust in God's word. You know, if a minister can correct the Bible, why can't anybody correct the Bible? And this is what this program is all about. Jesus, and there's no place in the Bible where God corrects his word. He never says it's an unfortunate translation. A better reading is the original say. He doesn't say that. Jesus said, it is written. And the Bible says the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation. Correcting the Bible is what Eve did that brought all the sorrow into the world. And you never hear anybody talk about that. God told them one thing, and Eve corrects it three times. And she brings death and sorrow and misery and wars and everything else. And she starts out by correcting the word of God. If you compare what she said in Genesis 3 with Genesis chapter 2, there is no writer in the Bible that corrects the word of God. You say, well, this is a translation and thousands of years have passed. Yes, but God said he would preserve his words pure. Now, Jesus taught that the Holy Spirit would guide you into all truth. John chapter 16, verse 13. And he said the Holy Spirit would guide you into all truth. He didn't say that he would guide you into partial truth, but he would guide you into all truth. If you correct the Bible, the authorized Bible, you're saying that Jesus was wrong and he only guided you into part truth. And the Bible says the Holy Spirit would abide with you forever. Jesus said, thy word is truth. And this Bible correcting that goes on all the time, it's coming from a corrupt text. I have a book that I could give you. It's written by Gail Riplinger, a thousand-page book. And it goes into all these Greek scholars, so-called, that were involved in these modern translations and their theories and all about what they believed. And a lot of them, they were unsaved people by their own words. They denied the most fundamental doctrines of the Scripture. And so we believe today that we have the Word of God. It is written. And Paul and all the apostles of Christ, they said it is written. They didn't correct the Bible because they believed God would preserve his words. And God knows languages. On the day of Pentecost, it says every man heard them in his own language. And so God, in keeping his Bible, he knows how to guide the translators. It's interesting, all the modern versions, they talk about how God helped them in the translation, but they deny this to the King James. Well, God, I believe that God has preserved his word and guided the authorized King James Bible translators. And today, we can look at the word of God. The other ones come and go, but the Bible says the word of God liveth and abideth forever. It's a living book, and it will be a blessing to you. Well, God bless you. Have a wonderful day, and trust in God's word.
You have been listening to Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman. If you enjoyed today's program and would like to receive a free brochure that lists 100 references where the name of Jesus has been omitted from modern versions, we invite you to drop us an email at sos1611@gmail.com. That's sos1611@gmail.com. Where is God's Word is sponsored by the Mantoway Country Baptist Church, located at 12385 Chamberlain Road near Aurora, Ohio. Pastor Murray Bay and the congregation cordially invite you to worship with them. Sunday morning services are held at 10 and 11 a.m. For directions or more information, please call 330-562-6600. That's 330-562-6600. Or write to the Mantoway Country Baptist Church, 12385 Chamberlain Road, Aurora, Ohio, 44202. Tune in again next week at this same time for another edition of Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman.